But the Marine plan for Fallujah was thrown off track, irretrievably, by what happened next. Marine patrols into Fallujah were familiarizing themselves with the city, and in the process purposely stirring up the situation. Inside the city, insurgents were preparing to respond, warning shops to close and setting up roadblocks and ambushes with parked cars. 1 week into this new, more volatile situation, two SUVs carrying security contractors from a company called Blackwater bypassed a Marine checkpoint and drove into the Hornet's Nest, not understanding that the American approach to the city had changed and that it was in turmoil over the recent shootings. Just why the contractors were heading into the unsettled city is unclear, but there is little question about what happened next. The Blackwater vehicles ran into a well-prepared ambush that had been set up the day before. There had been a leak out of the Green Zone about their movements, said a senior U.S. intelligence official with direct access to that information. That morning, nearby shops were warned to close, and roadblocks were set up to prevent the contractors from escaping, according to a Marine briefing that summarized the events of this period. Cans of gas were stashed and standing ready in a nearby alley. The four American contractors were attacked near the center of town, hit by fire from AK-47s and RPGs. They were dragged from their car, beaten, and dismembered. Two of their torsos were dragged westward and hung from the girders of a bridge over the Euphrates on the edge of town, then taken down and tossed on a pile of tires to burn while crowds cheered and crowed. At the Marine headquarters outside Fallujah, senior commanders learned about the Blackwater situation from CNN. Mattis saw the attack as a ploy designed to provoke a massive retaliation. He devised a methodical plan to respond to the atrocity. If the Marines took it step by step, the ringleaders would be arrested or killed over the course of the next month, Francis Bing West, the author and former Pentagon official who was embedded with Marine commanders, wrote in No True Glory, his lively history of Marine operations in Al-Anbar in 2004. But the televised atrocity in Fallujah provoked a powerful response down the chain of command, starting from Washington, where the images of Muslim mobs burning Americans evoked memories of October 1993 in Mogadishu, Somalia. The civilian leadership of the U.S. government didn't want to wait for a careful, quiet counterattack. Robert Blackwill, who had been brought into the NSC staff to advise on Iraq policy, began pushing for a swift and tough retaliatory raid, according to officials who worked with him. That would knock the Marines off the course they'd planned, and top military commanders in Iraq, including Lieutenant General Sanchez, advised against it, said several people involved in the exchanges. Bremer was somewhere in the middle, said a former Bush administration official. Bremer asked for time to try to deal with the situation, he said, but the word came back from the White House, if there was no political movement, the president wanted action within a few days. Bremer talked to Sanchez about launching a vigorous attack, and soon the Marines got a call from Sanchez's headquarters. Go in and clobber people, was the way one officer remembered it. Conway, the senior Marine in Iraq, wanted to hear the order from Abizade, who told him the order had come from high up, that is, either Rumsfeld or the White House. This is what the enemy wants, Mattis protested. He had been preparing to take Fallujah for months, but didn't want to do it this way, hastily, clumsily, acting in anger rather than with cool detachment. He was ordered, nonetheless, to get into Fallujah within 72 hours. He requested to see that order in writing, but didn't get it.